Thanks, man.
Will the members please show their presence by... Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take the final roll.
30 present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Eliason is excused from the call, but I do note his presence.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Martin be excused from the call of the House March 28th.
There's no objection. Representative Martin will be excused on that date. Representative Hayes.
And Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Eliason be excused March 20th from the call of the House.
There's no objection. Representative Eliason will be excused on March 20th. The prayer today is by Father Innocent at St. Nicholas Russian Orthodox Church. Will the members please rise for today's prayer?
O Lord, give thy blessing. Listen, wisdom is calling out. Reason is making herself heard. On the hilltops near the road, at the crossroads she stands, at the entrance to the city, besides the gates she calls. I appeal to you, mankind. I call to every man on earth. Are you immature? Learn to be mature. Are you foolish? Learn to have sense. Listen to my excellent words. All I tell you is right. What I say is the truth. Lies are hateful to me. Everything I say is true. Nothing is false or misleading. To the man with insight, it is all clear. To the well-informed, it is all plain. Choose my instruction instead of silver. Choose knowledge rather than the finest gold. I am wisdom. I am better than jewels. Nothing you want can compare with me. Amen.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move that the prayer be spread on the journal.
There's no objection. Prayer will be spread on the journal.
Mr. Speaker. Representative
Cotton.
Could we have, the clerk show that Representative Buchholz, Osterbeck, and myself are present?
The record, please show that Representative Cotton, Osterbeck, and Buchholz are present today. Will the chief clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 65th day in House Supplement number 32.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 65th day and House Supplement number 32 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction to the House today? Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, you and I have some constituents in Gallery A today. They're 4th and 5th, 6th grade from Valley Park Elementary High School school in Ketchikan, and they're here to observe the legislature in action. The group have worked to provide work. They'll get their own funds to come here, and I would like to ask them to stand, ask the members to hold the applause till all the members have been introduced. Ed Klein, Andrew Cochrane, Carrie Sinnott, Curtis Fleischauer, Mike Williams, Joe Goodwin, Walter Goodwin, Martin Eklund, Ben Worrell, and their chaperones, Sidney Olson and Jane Barber.
Representative Osterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a constituent in Gallery B. It's a fisherman, a successful one from Chicnik, Alaska. And his beautiful daughter, Phyllis, in Gallery B. And it's his first time down to Juneau, I believe, to see the legislators in action.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representative Duncan and I have a couple of constituents in Gallery B. Mike Avalian, and from Douglas, but he's actually the pastor for the Russian Orthodox faith in Angoon and Hoonah. Father Michael Williams.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I have a good friend in Gallery A that's leading the battle for the formation of the next new borough in the state up at Fort Yukon, Jonathan Solomon.
Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have a constituent there that is presently residing in Anchorage, working for the North Pacific Rim in their health department, who has promised me she's going to maintain her voting residency in Kodiak, Laura Bolden.
There are further guests for introduction.
Yeah,
Representative. Representative Eliason.
Brief at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. Messages from the governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, please add to your list of Alaskans to be confirmed for appointments to boards and commissions the following. This has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
At this time, I'd like to refer the appointment to Alcohol Beverage Control Board, the Commerce Committee, and the appointment to the Board of Welding Examiners to the Labor and Management Committee, and the appointment to the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners to the HESS Committee.
I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Joint Resolution Number 60 by the Resources Committee by request of the Governor's Agricultural Policy Task Force, requesting the U.S. Department of Agriculture to establish a plant quarantine center.
Resources.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 50 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Blue Ribbon Commission on the State Personnel Act, extending the life of the Blue Ribbon Commission on the State Personnel Act.
State Affairs and Finance.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 303 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to arson information.
Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Port sustaining committees.
The Committee on Finance has had House Concurrent Resolution 59 relating to workers' compensation under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 59 and recommends it do pass. The committee also adopted the labor management fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, assigning do pass Montgomery, Guy, Schaefer, Rogers, Duncan, Moss, McKinnon, and Meekins. Smith has no recommendation. House Concurrent Resolution 59 has no further referral. The Committee on HESS has had House Bill 672, Appropriation to the Department of Education for the Adult Basic Education Program under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, chairman, signing do pass Munson and Buchholz. Having no recommendation, Miles and Barnes. House Bill 672 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 869, Claims of the State, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, chairman, signing no recommendation, O'Connell, Martin, Brown, and Phillips. Signing do pass, Anderson, Barnes, and Parr. House Bill 869 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 927, designating programs and activities for review and termination under AS 4466 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 927, and recommends it do pass and attaches a chairman's report. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, chairman, concurred in by Miller, Parker, Martin, Gardner, and Fuller. Eliason signed do not pass. House Bill 927 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 931, transferring the Council on Science and Technology from the Department of Environmental Conservation to the Department of Administration under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 931 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Martin, Fuller, and Gardner. House Bill 931 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution 62 by the Rules Committee by request relating to the federal census.
Judiciary.
House Joint Resolution 84 by the Rules Committee requesting the National Marine Fisheries Service to eliminate the conditional fishery status of the Alaska salmon fisheries.
Resources.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 346 by Zharoff, an act relating to fishing area markers.
Resources.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 758 by Anderson, Duncan, Fuller, Guy, Haugen, Hurlburt, Meekins, Miles, Miller, Moss, Munson, Osterbach, Schaefer, Zharoff, and Gardner, an act relating to power production cost assistance for electric utilities and providing for an effective date.
Resources and finance.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 875 by McKinnon, Cotton, and Miller, an act relating to energy and the preparation of a state energy conservation and development plan.
Resources, and I'd like to add a finance referral.
House Bill 963 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act amending the Oil and Gas Corporate Income Tax Act and providing for an effective date.
Resources and finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Eliason.
We have another brief of these, please.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 586 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Community and Regional Affairs Committee Interim Joint Local Government Study, an act requiring physical notes for bills affecting a municipality. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 586 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 586 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, O'Connell, Carney, Zharoff, and Parr. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 586 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
If there's no objection, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill number 586 will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that CRA committee substitute for House Bill number 586 be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill number 586 will be in gross advance, third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 586 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act requiring fiscal notes for bills affecting a municipality.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, can we get an explanation of the bill?
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, this bill would require fiscal notes be attached to bills that have impact on local government units, just as we now attach fiscal notes to bills that cost the state money. It provides that they would be prepared by the CRA department. 22 states now do this, and we think, of course, that the local government units in our state deserve it. This bill has a fiscal note of $62,600 for additional staff of a local government specialist 3 and a clerk typist to prepare and typewrite the fiscal notes.
Question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 586. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 586 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 590 amended by the Resources Committee, an act relating to herring and providing for an effective date. We are in third reading on reconsideration, and I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Eliason and Halford. Page 1, line 13. Between benefits and outweigh, insert may. Page 1, line 23. Delete all material starting with A through Act on line 25. Renumber the following subsection. Page 1, line 26. Delete 1983, insert 1982.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. We return to second reading for those amendments.
There is objection, Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, to be quite frank with the body, I'm not trying to kill this bill in this manner. I think that no matter how we approach the subject, I'm going to vote against the bill, but I think there are some provisions in this bill which we can modify, which would make it more acceptable to others in this body and to others out in the state. And example, section 1, it says that stripping provides benefits of such importance to the state economy that the benefits outweigh the waste involved in the process. I don't think that's quite true, Mr. Speaker, because the market, we'll take example last year, the roe fishery in British Columbia, which is our most recent fishery, the price to the fishermen for the roe this year is less than one-third of what it was last year. So I have a very serious question whether the waste of this resource, the economic benefits derived by wasting this resource is really a legitimate approach. So by inserting may, maybe the circumstances might come about at some certain day that the price will be back up in that area again, which might justify the waste. I don't think it will, but I think it would modify that approach. And the other part of the amendment, which deletes the legislature finds that the Bering Sea is an area where the disposal of herring carcasses is acceptable under the criteria established in Section 1. Mr. Speaker, here's what we're doing. We're establishing a criteria in Section 1, and then after we establish that findings, then we go ahead and say, well, this is where you can do it. Well, I don't think we're convinced that we know enough about that we can designate that area. I think once we set out the criteria, that area should be designated by others who are more involved in the fishery or more knowledgeable of what's going on in that area, for instance, the Fish Board. And Mr. Speaker, the other portion of that amendment, which deletes 1983 and sets it back to 1982, the rationale behind that amendment is that back in 1977, we passed a bill on this floor, which in the legislature, which incidentally passed unanimously by both houses, which dealt with a specific subject, which said, in effect, that by stripping herring is a waste of a natural resource. And unanimous consent by both bodies agreed to this, with an exception in there that we would allow for 2 years the stripping process in the Bristol Bay area in order to allow them to gear up to process. Okay, Mr. Speaker, that was 3 years ago. And what we're doing today now is offering them another 4 years. They haven't done anything up to this time, so what leads us to believe that if we give them 20 more years, they'll do it? We don't know. So I think inasmuch as that we offered them 2 years ago time to build up to take care of the processing, that if we allow them 3 more years, it's considerably more reasonable than allowing them 4 years. And to be quite frank with you, Mr. Speaker, I don't think they're going to do it. I think once you allow stripping a herring, by legislative action, they're going to continue to do so, and they're going to continue to waste the resource.
Representative Guy. House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Miller.
Speaker,
just for the information of the body, the prime sponsor, who, because of his position, is not in a position to enter the debate, I understand, has no objection to this amendment. I tend to support it for that and other reasons.
Is there further debate? Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent adoption of this amendment.
The motion for the body is a motion to return to second reading for purposes of specific amendment. Is there any objection to that motion? There's no objection. We are in second reading. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Eliason and Halford. Page 1, line 13. Between benefits and outweigh, insert may. Page 1, line 23. Delete all material starting with A through Act on line 25. Renumber following subsections. Page 1, line 26. Delete 1983, insert 1982.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I would move the amendment.
Yes.
Yes, unanimous consent.
The amendment has been moved. Unanimous consent has been asked for. Is there objection? There's no objection. The amendment is adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 590, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 590, as amended by the House, will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. The clerk, please read the bill in third reading and final passage.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 590, amended by the Resources Committee. An act relating to herring and providing for an effective date.
Committee substitute for House Bill 590 is amended, is before the House in final passage. Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had some comments on just exactly what the waste bill passed in 77 did. I'd like to read a section out of that legislation. In this section, waste means a failure to use the flesh of commercially taken herring for reduction to meal, production of fish food, human consumption, food for domestic animals, scientific or educational purposes, or round herring bait. I would submit that the production of fish food is probably one of the best uses in terms of non-wasting of the herring. And the carcasses spread on the grounds pursuant to regulations by the department, by the fisheries board, and in concurrence with DEC, is probably a very good use of the herring carcasses. The other thing I'd like to say is that this bill is not a step backward, it is a step forward, because what happened when in 1979 the regulation took effect to cover waste, the processor started light salting and export of the herring. The original bill that you introduced was to stop that process, to stop the light salt export of roe herring. And this bill does that. It does it effective September 81, and it stops an abuse, although it allows the industry and the people involved to deal with it in an economic sense so that they're not hurt by that stopping. Thank you.
Question for the House is the final passage, committee substitute for House Bill 590 as amended by the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
28 yeas, 12 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 590 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 590 amended be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call in the effective date clause. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 20.
Clerk, please read the resolution by title.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 20, amended by the Judiciary Committee, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the appointment and confirmation of members of state boards and commissions. We are in third reading, and I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Rogers. Page 1, line 15. following the word commissions, insert, and the members may be removed as provided by law.
Representative Rogers.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of the specific amendment.
Is there objection? There's no objection. We're in second reading. Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Rogers, page 1, line 15. Following the word commissions, insert, and the members may be removed as provided by law.
Representative Rogers.
I'd like to move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the original Section 26 of the Constitution, which we're repealing and reenacting, had several provisions which aren't in the bill as it now stands before you. The original one only referred to boards and commissions which either headed a principal department or a regulatory or quasi-judicial agency. Those are the only ones we can now confirm. And it provides that members of those commissions may be removed as provided for by law, that members also have to be citizens of the United States, and that they can appoint principal executive officers when they're authorized by law. We've removed all three of those. I checked with Mr. Barrier overnight, and he said the questions on citizenship in the United States, that's a policy decision. But the one on removal, if we pass this as it now stands, the members could only be removed by the governor, and the legislature couldn't provide for means by which the legislature can remove members of boards and commissions, and it would take that power away from us. Inserting this language back in would continue the current constitutional provision that we may remove members by law.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I support the amendment.
Will the clerk please read the amendment again?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Rogers, page 1, line 15. Following the word commissions, insert, and the members may be removed as provided by law.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I remove my objection to the amendment.
Representative Guy.
I would like to ask a question of Representative Rogers, where the language reads as provided by law. Does this mean that if any board member or even the chairman of a board shows some evidence of exertion or show of bias, would that be within the ramifications of provided by law?
Representative Rogers.
In response to the passage of this amendment to the Constitution, the legislature would have to pass a law saying which boards and commissions were subject to confirmation, and in that law I would expect the discussion on procedures for removal of members to take place at that time. That would be before the next legislature.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, this is a provision that you find frequently in constitutions, that is, that it's a policy decision if we adopt this amendment that we're not saying that all of the different standards or reasons that someone should be removed would be put in the Constitution. It would make the Constitution pretty long and might have to be changed based upon policy decisions in the future. So this would anticipate that we would then have to provide for the procedures and say why you would have grounds to remove someone, what kind of a standard of behavior they would have to come up to, and that sort of thing. And if this passed, then the next legislature would have to address the issue of adopting such a bill, and it would be debated in both houses.
Representative Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason why I asked the question is because I have a solid evidence of showing and or exertion of bias where certain board is concerned. I'm very much for the proposed amendment, but I want to make it explicitly clear that we want no biases exerted by chairman of any board or members when they speak to certain topics, whatever they might be. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sure it would be quite appropriate in the legislation that would follow the passage of this amendment that, in particularly if you're dealing with a quasi-judicial body or a board that regulates a profession, that any kind of an action that would be considered improper, for instance, by a judge, would also be considered improper and grounds for removal for that board or commission. I think that's the sort of thing that the amendment anticipates. So I agree with Mr. Guy.
Is there objection maintained to the amendment? There's no further objection. The amendment is adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 20, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 20, as amended by the House, will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the resolution in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 20, amended by the Judiciary Committee, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the appointment and confirmation of members of state boards and commissions.
Is there debate? The question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 20 as amended by the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
40 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 20, as amended by the House, has passed the House. It completes today's calendar and brings us to unfinished business. Representative Fuller.
Mr. Speaker, can we revert to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Fuller.
Thank you. In Gallery B, a good friend of mine from Nome, Alaska, and who has taught on both my favorite islands, Little Diomede and St. Lawrence, Paul Sterling.
Representative Parr.
Under unfinished business, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have the Judiciary Committee waive HB 205, its prevention of and control of oil pollution, and House Bill 550, which is the transfer of traffic control systems from state to municipalities.
With the concurrence of the chairman, the judiciary referrals on House Bill 205 and House Bill 550 will be waived. Are there other items of unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Meekins.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet at 2:00 today, and we'll have the draft of the supplemental capital budget and the supplemental operating budget for FY 80. Also, tomorrow, we may need part of tomorrow if we don't finish our work on the budget draft today. But in addition to that, at 1:30 tomorrow, we'll be hearing from our consultants on oil and oil economics, the ones from Levy and Lipton Associates, Milton Lipton and his associate.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Democratic caucus on adjournment.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the House Commerce Committee will meet at 8:00 tomorrow morning. We will not have any other bills other than HB 934 up, even though the schedule did say bills to be announced. We will continue our hearings on House Bill 934, reorganization of regarding telecommunications. Go ahead, Bill.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will have two meetings today at 3:00 with Milton Lipton and Dick Kilgore, our oil and gas consultants. And at 7:00 tonight on the gamut of energy bills, energy conservation measures.
Representative Cotton.
Rules at 2:00 in the Belch Room on House Bill 773, reporting the average price of salmon. Let us speak.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, assuming that the caucus does not go over long, the fit or fat van will leave here about a little bit before noon. And at 1:30 today, Mr. Speaker, the State Affairs Committee will hear four pieces of legislation: House Bill 746, overtime compensation, flex time plan; House Bill 787, establishing Alaska Public Forum. HCR 48, participation in the state program of supplemental employee benefits, and HB 638, transportation planning and reports, Alaska Travel Transportation Policy Council.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, 1:30, House Committee will address House Bill 15, Longevity Bonus, and House Bill 861, Establishing Water and Sewer Revolving Loan Fund. Also, Mr. Speaker, we are going to make a decision on confirmation of the appointment of a member of the school board, state school board.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary will meet at 3 this afternoon with House Bill 572, Guardians and Conservators, and at 7:30 tonight, Senate Bill 365 amended, imposing penalties for dealing in liquor without a license, and House Bill 533, Intoxicating Liquor Prohibition Local Option.
Representative Parker.
Speaker, CRA will meet at 7:30 this evening, joint meeting with the Senate CRA Committee. Take up House Bills 580 to 585, the local government interim package.
Representative Branson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Republican caucus at 9:30 in the morning.
Representative Hurlburt.
Labor management won't be meeting in the morning.
Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under announcements here, I would like to again thank one of the former speakers here in looking in this direction, but I think that organization there should change the title of its name there to from the F4F Club to the F4P Club there, the portly. But you'll notice that in your mailboxes that there are these little blue booklets, and they were left here by Father Innocent to show his appreciation to the legislature for the funds that were appropriated for the restoration of the Russian Orthodox Church, the St. Nicholas Church here in Juneau. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, the telecommunications consultants, the legislature in town also, and for the information of the members, Mr. Merritt will be here for the rest of today, and Professor Stanley will be here today and tomorrow at least. So to the extent you have inquiries about what we're doing or what they're recommending or how we might address matters in your district, you can call over to House Commerce.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a mystery guest speaker at the Democratic luncheon today at the Capitol Room at noon. That's at the Baranoff.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The conference on the permanent fund will meet today at 1:30. I believe the meeting will be in Senate Finance. If there's a different location, I'll have it posted on the board.
Further announcements? Special orders. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to discuss privacy.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, do you have indoor plumbing? How many times have you been married? How many bedrooms do you have? How many babies, not counting stillbirths, has each woman in your household had? Have you had a mental condition which has lasted more than 6 months? How much is your house worth? Have you been looking for work during the last 4 weeks? How much income did you earn last year? Do you believe that these and similar questions are nobody's business but your own? Well, I'm afraid in about 2 weeks from yesterday, it's time to smile because you're on Candid Census. And every resident of the United States is being asked to answer a number of questions on the census. Not all of them will have to answer the 64 questions. In Alaska, practically every rural resident and roughly a quarter to a half of the urban residents are being asked to answer those questions. Refusal to answer them on the census is a fine of $100 and up to 30 days in jail, and false answers are a $500 fine. One thing I did note, and this may fit the circumstances, the census form you're going to be asked to answer these on is census form number D2. Now, Mr. Speaker, the state of Alaska is one of two states which recognizes the right of the people to privacy. And just to remind everyone, Article 1, Section 22, the right of the people to privacy is recognized and shall not be infringed. The legislature shall implement this section. Well, I believe that a lot of those questions do violate the right of the Alaska people to privacy. And if it were a voluntary questionnaire, I don't think it would, but it isn't a voluntary questionnaire. There are penalties for those who refuse to answer. Well, a lot of those questions are done because they're needed by various federal agencies, and yet taking a much smaller sample using scientific survey research procedures could get roughly the same amount of accuracy. They're expecting to be plus or minus 5% on their accuracy. And I really believe that those questions do violate the right in Alaska. And today the Rules Committee introduced a resolution asking the governor to bring an action in the name of the state against the federal government to enforce compliance with Alaskans' constitutional rights. And it also asks the governor to inform officials of the federal government that the state of Alaska intends to protect and defend the rights of all Alaska citizens who responsibly refuse to answer questions on that census that unnecessarily interfere with their private affairs and their right to be let alone. Now, the U.S. Constitution does require a census be taken every 10 years, and I intend to answer those questions that I think are appropriate and don't violate my right to privacy. And originally, the 1790 census had six questions, and I think five of those six are worthwhile today. That's the individual's name, age, sex, race, and residence. The sixth at that time was the number of slaves, and I don't think that one's appropriate anymore. Beyond that, I think the rest are an invasion of the right to privacy, and I would urge others who feel that their privacy is violated to refuse to answer those questions.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to clarify for the body some questions that were asked recently?
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, one member of the body sent to all of us, I believe, yesterday before, a letter concerning an address in Fairbanks which had appeared often on correspondence. And there was a statement in there that this address was a state agency. I'd like to clarify the body that it is not. It is the address of the Women in Crisis Shelter in Fairbanks. Now, that agency does have that crisis center does have a lot of people, of course, on its board. It also has a lot of people who are coming through there. I think we've all had some information as to the seriousness of the problem with things such as spousal abuse and women who need a place to go. So a number of the persons who have written this legislature or sent the messages down through the Legislative Information Office have used that address rather than their home addresses, and I don't see anything at all wrong with that. Another point I would like to make, Mr. Speaker, and I think it should be borne in mind by all of us, is that no person in the state of Alaska loses his or her rights of citizenship, the right to petition a government to express their viewpoints, even if it should be state employees. I think that should be clearly understood by everyone. There's nothing at all improper or inappropriate for this to happen. So I would like just about it to understand that this situation may not be exactly as it was presented in the letter.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege to respond to the two previous speakers?
Representative Martin.
Thanks, sir. For once, I find myself in almost total agreement with the representative from Fairbanks that first spoke on privacy. And I was wondering if people would follow this to the point of getting rid of APOX, because that the deliberate Alaskan infringement of privacy, as far as I've seen, too. Then to the representative on the agency at 331 East Fifth Avenue, I have learned that it was not a government agency. However, it is heavily funded by government
money.
It's one of those organizations that we call private, nonprofit organization, but almost totally surviving due to government taxes. And I very much honor freedom of speech. As I mentioned in my letter, I believe in this. But just like yesterday, we received one wire from that same organization that had over 40 49 signatures on it from the same address. And that's all right, I don't mind that. But the purpose of this organization, of that particular organization, is it a lobbying organization? Is it listed under APOCS for lobbying duties? Then I will accept what they do. Thank you.
Representative Meagles. Representative Meekins, notice reconsideration is noted on House Bill 586. Representative Bettisworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like permission to talk about the sentiments of the folks back home.
Representative Bettisworth.
I have observed in my time down here that most of the people, and we've had the opportunity to spend some time at home, have come back and felt the urge to try to convey to this body the feeling that he's gotten or she has gotten while being at home. I did attend a convention, but I did have a little time also to get around to coffee shops and bars on occasion and see what the people were thinking and talking about. And I had several encouraging feelings during this time that the people back home really do know more than we sometimes think they do about what's going on down here. They have a feeling about what we are or are not doing down here. And in view of what any message I might give to this body, and the feeling that I got back home, it would be that we ought to take a few days off and go home and find out how the people are really feeling.
Thank you. Representative Randolph.
Hey, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to privilege the floor to comment on some remarks made by Senator Stevens on the floor the other day.
Representative Randolph.
Senator Stevens made the comment, and he has
several times in the past,
repealing the state income tax would be a bad thing to do because we get treated more poorly by the federal government. So, admittedly, these figures are a bit old and hastily put together, but they're from the census document in 1975.
And they show that
other than Alaska and Washington, D.C., the state with the highest per capita income from federal money is Wyoming. And they have no income tax.
The lowest state is Indiana, and they have an income tax.
There are 10 other states in the 10 states in the country who have no income tax at all. I averaged up the amount of per capita money that they get from the federal government.
I averaged that to $226.
Per capita, and the states that that have a tax average out $227 per capita. So, just using that information, it seems to me
very clear that other states are not being treated differently depending on whether they do or
do not have a state income tax.
I'll just recap: Wyoming does not have an income tax. Just
the most money from the federal government. Indiana does have an income tax and gets almost three times less per capita than a state that does not have an income tax.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
No objection. We adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.